Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government continues its efforts to ensure that the management of village fund remains transparent and well-targeted. The Minister of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, highlights the crucial role of the Attorney General's Office in overseeing this process, particularly through the Jaga Desa application. More details by Okra.
The Minister of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, emphasized the strategic role of the Attorney General's Office in promoting transparency and accountability in the management of the village fund. He conveyed this during a meeting with Attorney General S.T. Burhanuddin at the main building of the Attorney General's Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to him, the synergy between the Ministry of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions and the Attorney General's Office is crucial, especially through the Jaga Desa application, which has helped village leaders to directly report various problems in their villages.
Luar biasa support dari Kejaksaan Agung Republik Indonesia. It serves both as a guide and a preventive measure against undesirable practices in managing the village fund, which totals a significant amount nationwide.
In addition, the Ministry of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions considers collaboration with law enforcement agencies, particularly the Attorney General's Office, is essential to ensure that these funds are used according to regulations and have a tangible impact on village communities. Going forward, this synergy will be further strengthened to more effectively enhance the capacity of the village officials in managing state finances.
The next news. The chairman of Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, Saleh P. Dawlai, stressed the importance of the tourism bill to create quality and sustainable tourism. This bill, an initiative of the House, carries a new paradigm, shifting from mass tourism to quality tourism with a focus on integrated ecosystems. Saleh said that the bill covers 12 aspects, including education, destination, management, and empowerment of local communities. Commission 7 stressed the need to strengthen the content of tourism awareness education. According to him, the involvement of various ministries is also considered important. In addition, Saleh Dawlai said that the government has stated that it is ready to discuss the bill and will adhere to the problem inventory list that has been submitted. Commission 7 and the government agrees to conduct internal consolidation in the next 30 days. The next news. Indonesia Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Rahmat Pamburi, said that the 2025 till the 2029 Indonesian National Medium-Term Development Plan is implemented to achieve development targets in line with the President's vision, namely together with Indonesia progressing towards Golden Indonesia 2045. In a working meeting with Commission 11, of the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Thursday, he conveyed that the development targets include poverty reduction to economic growth. He explained that the development plan was formulated to answer challenges and support the implementation of national programs.
RPJMN diarahkan untuk mencapai beberapa sasaran pembangunan diantaranya.
The midterm development plan is directed to achieve several development targets, including poverty reduction, improving the quality of human resources, sustainable high economic growth, and reinforce with targets on foreign policy and environmental aspects. The national priorities also maintain 17 priority programs of the President, which include development plans in various sectors, as well as steps in the form of the Best Quick Result Program. And all of these efforts are formulated to answer the main problems and challenges appropriately, quickly, measurably, in order to create a solid structure in supporting the implementation of various national development programs. The midterm development plan is directed to achieve several development targets, including poverty reduction, improving the quality of human resources, sustainable economic growth, and reinforce with target on foreign policy and environmental aspects. National priorities also contain 17 priority programs of the Indonesian, which include development plans in various sectors, as well as steps in the form of the Best Result Program, Quickly or Quick Wins. And all these efforts are formulated to answer main problems and challenges appropriately, quickly, measurably, in order to create a solid structure in supporting the implementation of various national development programs. Furthermore, Rahmat Pambudi said that the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045 emphasized the importance of cooperation in supporting development from the younger generations. According to him, the Indonesian younger generation must have the same determination based on foundation that has been built to realize Indonesia on par with developing countries in 2045. Meanwhile, the head of Commission 11 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Muhammad Haikal, said that the planning made must be able to answer the challenges of the global economy, social environment, and increasingly complex geopolitical dynamics. Therefore, according to him, the policies designed in the national medium-term development must be adaptive, innovative, and oriented towards inclusive and sustainable development. And the final news. The public is urged to be more aware of hearing loss at an early stage. During a webinar entitled Changing Mindsets, Empower Yourself, Let's Make Ear and Hearing Care a Reality for All. On Thursday, the Director of Communicable Disease Prevention and Control at the Indonesian Ministry of Health, Dr. Siti Nadia Tarmizi, said that the hearing loss often goes unnoticed until it has serious consequences, especially in children. According to Dr. Nadia, WHO data for 2021 indicates that 1.5 billion people worldwide are at risk of hearing loss, with approximately 430 million in need of rehabilitation.
Kalau kita lihat bahwa dari laporan WHO tahun 2021,
according to the WHO 2021 report, 1.5 billion people are at risk of hearing loss due to reduced hearing function, with a threshold of more than 20 decibels. 20 decibels are the normal hearing threshold, meaning that 1 in 5 people may experience hearing loss due to environmental factors. Nearly 80% of people with hearing loss live in middle and low-income countries. This means that given Indonesia's diverse income levels, we must consider hearing loss as a significant problem for our society.
Bervariatif ya, yang artinya kita juga harus melihat bahwa ini suatu ancaman untuk masyarakat kita.
According to the WHO 2021 report, 1.5 billion people are at risk of hearing loss due to reduced hearing function with a threshold of more than 20 decibels. 20 decibels are the normal hearing threshold, meaning that 1 of 5 people may experience hearing loss due to environmental factors. Nearly 80% of people with hearing loss live in middle and low-income countries. This meant that given Indonesia's diverse income levels, we must consider hearing loss as a significant problem for our society. Therefore, Dr. Nadia reminded the public to conduct early detection and maintain hearing health by reducing exposure to loud noises. She also stressed the importance of educating parents and teachers to recognize the signs of hearing loss among children. And that's the news. Coming up next is commentary on Voice of Indonesia to be delivered by Anna Trijayakasih.
Today's commentary is on government ensures national rice production surplus. Indonesian national rice production until April 2025 experienced a surplus of around 2.8 to 3 million tons compared to the previous year. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Agriculture Sudaryono, when reporting on the condition of national food availability to President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace Jakarta on Wednesday emphasized that the government is committed to maintaining food security and stabilizing the prices of basic necessities. According to Sudaryono, the president asked government officials to maintain the current surplus trend. The government is targeting an annual surplus of 5 to 6 million tons to avoid imports. Currently, national rice production ranges from 30 to 31 million tons per year. To maintain the surplus trend, the government asked farmers to immediately replant after harvest. In this way, farmers can harvest up to 3 times a year. Meanwhile, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan is optimistic that Indonesia will not import rice next year or 2026 thanks to increased domestic production. He emphasized that one of the main factors in achieving a rice surplus is the distribution of subsidized fertilizers that is running well. The availability of fertilizers before planting is considered to play an important role in increasing agricultural productivity. Zulkifli Hasan also emphasized that the government will continue to oversee food policies so that Indonesia achieves sustainable rice self-sufficiency. Supervision of production, distribution, and the availability of rice stocks in the market are the main priorities. In addition to increasing production, the government will strengthen the role of the Red and White Village Cooperative. This cooperative distributes agricultural products and provides for farmers' needs at affordable prices. Hopefully, the availability of national food, which is currently recorded as a surplus, can be maintained so that food self-sufficiency, which is part of Asta Cita, which is President Prabowo's 8 main missions, can be realized. That was commentary.
And that commentary closes up today's news from Voice of Indonesia, and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia.
Yang selesai hati bisa susi What is this food?
Its main ingredient is snail, but it's named escargot from Italy. The snail is made as curry, along with various Indonesian typical spices. Some says this menu is only available during the holy month of Ramadan. What is this food? Gulai seafood. The typical food of Riau is also called gulai seafood or lengkitang.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Separuhnya
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, still thinking about where to go to enjoy the beautiful sunset? Why not join to Tanjung Setia Beach? Only on Voice of Indonesia in Indonesian Wonder.
Relaxing on the beach and enjoying the sunset are always a very pleasant choice when you are on holidays. It sounds ordinary, but Tanjung Setia Beach area in West Lampung has an extraordinary sunset. To reach the beautiful beach, you need approximately 8 hours by motor vehicles from Raden Insan Dua Airport, Bandar Lampung. It is approximately 273 kilometers from Bandar Lampung as the capital city. Tanjung Setia Beach is located along west coast of Lampung province near the Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park. The waves at Tanjung Setia are called one of the best for surfers from all over the world and are almost equal to the world famous surf spot Hawaii. During the surfing season, at its peak, which runs from June to August, the waves can reach 6 and even 7 meters and stretch for 200 meters, making it a prime playground for surfers. Besides the challenging waves, Tanjung Setia Beach has soft white sand and sunset views that offer interesting attractions. The shores of Tanjung Setia are also dotted with palm trees that provide a beautiful and calming view. Furthermore, away from the shoreline and the pounding waves, the offshore of Tanjung Setia awaits sport fishing enthusiasts to reel in an abundance of fish. Although the various fish offshore, the legendary giant blue marlin is the favorite to catch in these waters. Locally known as Iwatuhuk, the blue marlin can weigh from 50 to 70 kilograms and measure up to 170 centimeters in length.
Yes, you'll be the man.
Well, listener, after this we will listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa, only on Voice of Indonesia with Tetao Siapapun.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesia Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is di Nusa Tenggara Barat. Di Nusa Tenggara Barat, which means in Nusa Tenggara Barat. You will listen to a conversation about siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Datiel, a local at Pantai Seger or Seger Beach, Lombok Island, about people joining the Bau Nyale Festival. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Bau Nyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. I will say it two times slowly and please repeat after me. Siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. Boleh. Boleh, which means allowed. Ikut. Ikut, which means join. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means traditional clothing. Menanggap. Menangkap, catch. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. Anak-anak, anak-anak, which means children. Remaja, remaja, which means teenager. Orang tua, orang tua, which means elderly. Orang asing. Orang asing, which means foreigner. Festival Bau Nyale. Festival Bau Nyale, which means Bau Nyale Festival. In this conversation, you hear the expression siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. In the expression, there is the word siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. Other example. Let's listen to another use of the word siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone, in other sentences. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger, which means everyone must not litter at Seger Beach. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun, which means at certain days Mandalika Circuit can be visited by everyone. Bau Nyale tradition is a seaworm catching tradition in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Bau Nyale is believed to be related to the legend of Princess Mandalika. In the legend, every prince in the region loved Princess Mandelika. But the princess turned into Nyale, or sea worm, to avoid conflict among the nations. The name Princess Mandelika later became the name of the Mandelika Tourism Zone and Pertamina Mandelika International Circuit. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Bau Nyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Welcome back to Music Corner. And it's a pleasure for me to be able to greet you again in the Music Corner program. Of course, this time, I'm going to play a regional pop song from the land of Cendrawasih, precisely from South Papua, entitled Yapo Mama Cica. The lyrics of this Asmat language song tells the story of the carefree and friendly life of the Papuan people. The joy is implicitly reflected in the cheerful and happy tone. So, here is Yapo Mama Cica, sung by Vita Alfia. Enjoy!
Yapo mama cica, kakai mama, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama, kakai mama.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, boy listener, for accompanying me in today's broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, there will be a lot of more program and information that will accompany you in the next hours on Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critics, suggestion, and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. We also have our email address in VOI at boynews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Again, +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, boy listener and internet viewers. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jakarta から Korewa Voice of Indonesia です。日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、さまざまな情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LL デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。
Selamat malam, konbanwa. Kyo 2025年3月13日、私、エンガルが1時間の日本語放送をお送りいたします。今日はニュース、インドネシアの音楽、それともいろいろなインドネシアの情報をお届けします。次はニュースをお伝えします。引き続き、周波数 3325kHz や 4755kHz から、ボイスオブインドネシアの放送をお聞きください。皆さんの皆さん、ニュースです。今日の見出しは、ゴミ処理が優先課題、政府が包括的戦略を準備。通信デジタル省と ITF が連携し、インドネシアのデジタルエコシステムを強化。微細素粒子技術を活用したバイオ電池の開発がより有利。最初のニュースです。インドネシア各地でのゴミ問題は、プラボーソビアント大統領の関心と優先事項の一つとなっています。これについて、インフラ及び地域開発担当調整大臣のアグス・ハリモルティ・ユドヨノは、3月12日、水曜日に、ジャカルタのマルデカ宮殿で行われた 閣僚会議後の記者会見で発表しました。アグス大臣によると、大統領は具体的な対応策として、インフラ整備や技術ベースの政策実施に重点を置いた国家ゴミ処理加速化、タスクフォースの設立を指示しました。このタスクフォースは、環境に優しい技術を活用した廃棄物発電施設の開発を推進する大統領令第35号2018年に基づき、ゴミ処理対策を重点的に進める12の都市の評価を行います。
このタスクフォースはこれまでの施策の評価を行います。大統領令2018年35号はすでに7年間実施されており、ゴミ処理に特化すべき12都市が指定されています。さらにこれらの都市ではゴミをエネルギーへと転換する取り組みも期待されています。
さらにアグス大臣は国家ゴミ処理加速化タスクフォースの設立に加え、学校教育を通じて、ゴミ管理に関する意識向上と啓発活動を強化することの重要性を強調しました。また政府は技術導入とインフラ強化を通じて、ゴミの発生源から最終処理まで包括的に対策を進める方針を示しています。その一環として、インドネシアクリーン運動を展開し、国民の意識を高めるとともに、ゴミ処理が持続可能な形で実施されることを目指しています。次に、インドネシア通信デジタル省は、インダストリータスクフォースまたは ITF と協力し、デジタルエコシステムの強化を進めています。この協力では、5G の開発を含む接続性の向上や投資促進が主な焦点となっています。ムティア・ハフィッド大臣は、デジタルエコシステムの加速には、スタートアップや中小企業を支援する規制と調和した適切なデジタルガバナンスが不可欠であると強調しました。さらに、政府は信頼性の高い国立データセンターの設立を計画しており、民間企業との協力の可能性を挙げています。人工知能または AI に関しては、インドネシアは特定の国の技術を排除せず、各国の技術を公平に活用できる明かれた外交政策を採用する方針を示しています。最後のニュースです。インドネシア国立研究革新庁の研究チームは、金属系の合成色素に代わる、より低コストで持続可能な微細素類由来の天然色素を使用した、色素増感型太陽電池の開発を進めています。この研究は3年間にわたって実施され、色素抽出から色素増感型太陽電池または DSSC の最適化、さらには光アノーデへの色素の未達着性向上に取り組みます。微細素類は光の吸収能力が高く、増殖が良いで環境にも優しいため、最適な選択肢とされます。もしこの研究が成功すれば、インドネシアは天然色素を活用した太陽電池分野の先駆者となり、再生可能エネルギーの移行を支える重要な技術となります。
Malam ini bintang-bintang kesendirian.